Thank you very much. Good morning. Nice to see you all. I'd like to speak to you this morning, just for a few minutes, about Jesus' baptism. Some of us forget that Jesus himself was baptized one day. And when he did, it was really an awesome event. And actually, when you see Jesus' baptism, more than anything else, you see the love of his Father for him. When Jesus was baptized, this is what happened. It says in Mark 1. It says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. You know, one of the most important things that can ever happen in our lives is for us to experience the love of God, the love of Jesus' Father, who Jesus says is also our Father, who wants to adopt us into his family and bring us into the kingdom of God. The love of God revolutionizes your life. And you can experience that love right now, this morning. You've probably been experiencing it already in the worship, in the words that have been brought from people. Those two prophetic words are literally the heart of the Father speaking to your heart. He's here to speak to you and touch you and love you because he does love you. And this experience of the love of the Father, the love of God, is what life is all about and is desperately what our nation needs. There's a famine in our nation right now of fathers, isn't there? Fathers, definitely good fathers, and fathers full stop. Because of the breakdown of family life and 101 different reasons, many people grow up totally distant from their earthly dads or not even knowing them. It's just a famine. A few years ago, Hallmark Cards decided to do a run in all the British prisons, and they did a run of Mother's Day cards. And what they found was that they massively underestimated the amount of people, prisoners in the UK, wanted to send Mother's Day cards to their mums. They just missed it by a mile. Every Mother's Day card in all the prisons of the UK sold. So Hallmark Cards thought, right, we're not going to be caught out again. We're going to ramp up for Father's Day. And you already know what happened, don't you? They stocked Home House and all the prisons of the UK with thousands and thousands of Father's Day cards and waited. Do you know how many Father's Day cards in the UK prisons, and you're talking about tens of thousands of young men, how many Father's Day cards do you think sold in the UK prisons that year? None. Not one? When I heard that, I was shocked. But I shouldn't have been, really. Because what that says is this. All of the guys, at least in the prisons, the criminal element of our nation, who aren't much different to any of the rest of us. Do you know that, don't you? You know the great difference between you and the people sat in Home House prison this morning? You know what the difference is, don't you? Nothing. Yeah, that's right. They've been caught. That's it. We're just all human beings. And the truth is this. None of those guys had a relationship with their dad or wanted one or were willing to pursue one. And that is true of millions and millions of people in the UK today. And what is the answer for that? Actually, the answer for that isn't finding a great dad. Or you, if you're a dad, becoming a great dad. It isn't. It's got to be beyond that. Because I'm a dad, but I fail. Don't you, dads? Don't you mess up and get it wrong because you're a sinner like everyone else. Yeah? No, the answer, actually, is in this dad. Our heavenly dad, who spoke very clearly this morning, actually, through a prophetic word, saying that he's a God of love and he wants you to come to him. And if you do, take one step towards him, he's going to run towards you this morning. And you're going to experience his love. And that is revolutionary. When Jesus was baptized, heaven was ripped open and God was there. Oh, he was just there. The Father was saying, Son, I've watched you all your life. And I just have to tell you, I love you. I love you. You know, there's a God in heaven. Maybe you're not aware of this. He's watched you all your life. He's your father and he loves you. He loves you. Even if you're totally unaware of it. Philip Yancey's a famous author, sold thousands and thousands of books. And Philip Yancey said when he was in his 40s, he'd never had any sense of relationship with his own dad. And understandably, because his dad died of polio when he was one. So he just didn't know him. And one day he was visiting his mum when he was in his 40s. And Yancey always felt robbed of not having a dad. And could never relate to anyone when they talked about the dads. And just didn't feel anything. He was just numb. And one day that changed. He went to visit his mum when he was in his 40s. And was looking through some photographs. And he had some little photographs of him when he was a baby. And one of the photographs was crumpled and had two little rips on the edge. And he said to his mum, "Oh, mum, why don't you throw this one out? It's wrecked. You've got loads of me of that age." And she took hold of it and said, "No, that's the most precious one of all." She said, "Because when your dad was dying, for the last year of his life, he had to lie in an iron lung those days if you had polio. They helped you to breathe. You couldn't move." And she said, "As he was dying, every day I'd go and visit him. And the only thing he looked at was this photograph of you pushed between two bolts on his iron lung. And there was also a mirror bolted on so he could speak to me." And Yancey said, when he heard that, something happened inside him. He realized that his dad, in the dying days and months and weeks of his life, had been looking at him, loving him, thinking of him, praying for him, no doubt. And he felt a connection to his dad. He had a massive emotional response. And he was able to receive the love of his own father as he realized he did love me. Do you know something? God loves you just like that. He's what the Bible says. He's what God says in the Bible. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I called you." So you sat in church this morning. How did you get here? Well, it's been a long journey, actually, because it started before time began. It started in God's heart. There's a God. Heaven is open, and he's speaking to you today, and he wants you to know this. I love you. I love you. He's your dad, and you can receive that today. You can experience that. The good news of the gospel is this, that this dad doesn't only say, "I love you," he proves it. He's a dad of action. He's a father who will pay any price to rescue you. Any price. And the proof of that is Jesus' death on the cross. The Bible says God so loves the world, the Father so loves this world, you and me, that he gave his only son, Jesus, his only begotten son, so that we wouldn't perish, but would be saved. God wants you to be saved this morning. He doesn't want you to perish. He loves you. He wants to save you from your sins. He wants to save you from hell. He wants to save you from death. He wants to save you from life. He wants to rescue you from yourself. He does. Because life without God equals a mess and a lot of pain. And he doesn't want it as your father. He doesn't want you to live like that. One day I was on holiday a few years ago in France with Margaret and the kids, and I was bored. I was looking through someone's house we were staying in. And I've got 9 kids, so I'm not often bored. But I was this afternoon. I thought, and I picked up this children's Bible. And I was flicking through it. And these kids' Bibles have little stories in. And I came across this story that blew me away. And I've been preaching it ever since. It's a story about a true story. About the Armenian earthquake of 1989. I sometimes preach in an Armenian church in Spain, and they love this story because they know it, and then obviously they knew about the earthquake, they experienced it. And in 1989, Armenia had the greatest earthquake they've ever experienced. In 4 minutes, 30,000 people died. The whole country just collapsed. It was a massive earthquake, terrible. And there's a true story of this guy who was working at his workbench, and as soon as his world stopped shaking, he did what any dad would have done. He dropped his tools and ran to the primary school where his little son was. And he ran past all these broken down, collapsed buildings and rubble, runs around this corner, and to his horror, he sees the school is gone. There's nothing there. It's just earth and twisted metal and rockets completely collapsed. And he runs around the rubble to the place where his kids, where his son's classroom was, and he starts to dig. He starts to grab rubble and grab metal and starts to dig, and he goes on and on and on and on. People start coming round. They're screaming and mourning, and but he was just digging, 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 digging. And he went on hour after hour after hour. In fact, he became famous for it because he actually went on, this is true, for 36 hours without stopping. He couldn't stop, and he told people later the reason he couldn't stop was in his mind, was the conversation he had with his little son that morning at the breakfast table. He said to his son, "Son, I'm your dad, and I'll always be there for you." And he just remembered that promise in his son's face, and he kept digging and digging and digging and digging. And in the end, his hands were just blood, and people tried to stop him and said, "You must accept, you must accept." But he wouldn't and couldn't. And here's the truth. This happened after 37 hours. He heard his son's voice. His son was alive under the rubble. With massive renewed strength, he pulled the last rock out the way, and in a little triangle hole, there was his son and two other kids. And when he pulled the rock out the way, his son said, "Dad, I knew he would come for me. I told my mates my dad will come for me." You have a dad like that? You have a better dad than that? A dad who stopped at nothing. Not only bloody hands, bloody feet, bloody head, pierced side. Jesus on the cross is the biggest "I love you" this world's ever heard. That was the Father's price. We often sing, you know, "And we'll never know the cost." We talk about the cross. "We'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon the cross." That's true. Actually, I don't think we ever will know the cost. I don't think we're allowed to know. The Bible reveals something, but not everything of it. We'll never know what it cost the Father to send Jesus to the cross for your sins and mine. But it is the ultimate Bible proof that God is good and that God loves you. Listen, God loves you. Does that matter to you? Who wants this love? Who wants to receive this love this morning, this love of a Father like this? Because if God loves you this much and it's unreceived, it doesn't help you. You have to receive it. God wants to say this morning, "I love you." He said it to Jesus. He says it to you. "I love you." And then the Holy Spirit came down visibly. I mean, they saw the Spirit of God come down. It's very supernatural. They saw it like a dove, and it rested on Jesus. And, you know, many of us who've been Christians for a while will tell you that the way you experience God and the way you experience the love of the Father and feel God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts, and we know the love of God, and it heals you. It does something awesome for you on the inside. No amount of words can do. God needs to touch you. Isn't that true? If I say to my kids, "I love you, I love you, I love you," it's not enough. I need to get hold of them and touch them. Touch. Some of you today need the touch of God. You need to be touched by God. When I'm finished speaking in a minute, we're going to have a song, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and stand down here at the front. Whoever you are, whether you know God or not, He knows you. Whether you believe in Him or not, He believes in you. He loves you. You can come and stand down here, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And you'll experience the love of God. You'll experience what it is to be saved and forgiven. You'll experience the love of this Father. Because His words aren't enough. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you with the touch of God. To be touched is so powerful, isn't it? It's so important. You know, I've always had this little tradition that I sort of got with our kids. When you've got 9 kids, you've got enough to build up a tradition, you know. And when they're born, you know, these days they give the baby to dad, don't they? Now dads are allowed in. And, you know, I've always done this. I don't know where I got it from. But, you know, Margaret's getting cleaned up, bless her, or whatever. And I've got the little baby. And I'm... What? What? This is normal, isn't it? Just, have you ever experienced this? Your wife gives birth, she needs to be cleaned up and sorted out. And as they're sorting her out, the dad gets the baby, isn't that true? And I always hold the little baby and I always look at them. And I know they can't quite see you then, but I look at him and say, I'm your dad. And I love you. And then I sing this little song. It's a bit cheesy. It's not a Christian song. I don't know where I got it from, but it goes like this. I love you. I appreciate you. Over and over again, I love you. And then, do you know what? I discovered this, being a dad over the years. Later on, I'd do it again, so they'd be a little bit older and they'd be in the bath and getting, you know, getting out the bath and crying, upset, you know, like they're 18. No, like a little baby, you know, crying, upset. And I'd get them with a towel and take them into the bedroom. And I'd do it again, hold them close. And they'd be crying, I'm your dad. And they'd stop, it's true. And I love you. I'd sing the little song, I love you, I appreciate you. Then I'd finish singing and start crying again. It's true. But here's what I've discovered, you know what? You never grow beyond that, the need of that, you don't. So Luke 9 or whatever, he's sat in his bed and he's having trouble at school. And trouble at school when you're 9 is real trouble, isn't it? I'm sat in his bed talking to him and pray for him and all that. Then I run my fingers through his big hair, because he's got a lot of hair on Luke. And I do the same thing. You know what, Luke? I'm your dad. And I love you. And I sing that little song after I've talked to him. And you know what? I watch peace come to him. I watch peace come. Because it resonates right back to the moment he was born, it does. Deep inside. Do you know what that says at the end of the day to a kid? It says, bottom line, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm loved. I'm loved. And you know what? Recently, my eldest daughter, Ruth, got married. And they lost their first baby. And me and Margaret, it's never happened to us, amazingly enough. We didn't know really how to relate to it. And when I saw how broken they were, I was shocked, you know. And I thought, what can I say? What can I say? And I thought, I know what to say. It's the same thing I've been saying all my life. And when they came round our house, broken and in tears, I put my hands round our Ruth's beautiful face and said, I'm your dad. And I love you. I love you. I appreciate you. You never get too old for that. And listen, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this dad who wants to do this for you. This is the touch of God. This is the affection of God. You need to experience this. And if you haven't, you don't fully know God. Because this is what he's like and this is who he is. He wants to touch you with the Holy Spirit. That's when you experience the love of God. And some of us spend all our lives looking for this love in all the wrong places, in all the wrong relationships, in all the wrong addictions, in all the wrong... Listen, enough today. It's here. This love is within reach. Right now you can experience total love and forgiveness which heals you and transforms you. I always remember when the Romanian orphanages opened up and you saw those horrific pictures on television of these little kids who'd been neglected, neglected, neglected. And I watched a programme once about it which was fascinating. They noticed that the kids that were closest to the door were thriving, or well, at least surviving. And the kids that were further back in the room weren't. They got fed, they got watered. And they wondered why. And in the end, they put a camera in the room to watch what was happening. And because they thought, is it the light? Or is it fresh air from the door? What is it? And when they put the camera in the room, they saw what it was. All it was this. The nurse that went in to feed them every day, as she was going out, she ran her fingers on the heads of the little ones near the door and just touched them. Just that human touch and love was enough to make them live. Live. Do you know what? Human beings do not live on bread and water or money or new cars or holidays. Human beings live, survive and thrive on one thing only. Love. And you can't fully provide it for one another. There's a supernatural love that only comes from the Father in heaven. The love of God. This is what we need. This is what you need today. You need this. I read about this little baby that was prematurely born recently, called Esther. And a month before she was born, the father of the baby left the mother. And this baby was born massively premature. Little Esther was 1 pound 7 ounces. Tiny. Could sit in your hand. I mean, in the past, couldn't have survived. But this little baby was in an incubator with a little tube up its nose and things in its tiny little hands to help her survive. Then a very wise midwife said to the father of the mother, not the father of the baby, the granddad of the baby, who'd come in with the mum. She knew, she understood. She said, listen, you're going to have to be the surrogate dad. Because if Esther's going to make it, she's going to need a dad. And she said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come in every day and I want you to take your finger and rub your big finger on little Esther's tummy and chest. And I want you to speak to her and say, Esther, we love you. You're welcome. We want you. We love you. We love you. As a wise midwife, she understood the importance of being touched and loved. So does God. God doesn't say from a distance, I love you. He doesn't. He does. But he doesn't only do that. He wants to come very near through his Holy Spirit and fill your heart and life so you know it for sure. This God, this Father is totally forgiving. In fact, you heard that of Shirley already prophetically. It's what he wants to do. He wants you to come home today, to come home to him. To come to God, to come back to him so he can forgive you. And you can come with all the pig swill on you. That's the good news. You come with all the filth. You come just as you are. You come with nothing to offer. You come covered in all your rubbish. But this God will embrace you anywhere. That's what he's like. That's how good he is. There's a true story of a guy who stole his parents' credit cards and went down to London and emptied his parents' bank account of their life savings. And they never heard from him for 3 years. And when all the money was spent and all the drugs were done and all the parties were over, he was going to have to live on the streets. And he couldn't handle it. He'd actually been brought up in quite a middle-class, nice home. And he knew he couldn't handle it. And he was frightened. And he was about to be thrown out of the place he was staying. So he wrote a letter home. He knew his mum would forgive him. Because mums are good at that, aren't they? But he wasn't sure about his dad at all. He knew how hurt his dad would be, how angry his dad would be. And rightly so, right? I mean, rightly so. And he wrote this letter back to his dad and his mum, begging for his forgiveness. And said, if you forgive me, I want to come home. I've got nothing to offer. I've wasted everything. My life's a mess. It's a wreck. But I want to start again. I want a chance to start again. Can I do it? Will you let me come home? And he said, I'm going to be, with the last money I've got, I'm going to be going past the bottom of our house on the train track on this day. And if I can come home, I want you to tie, you know, a white tea towel on the apple tree at the back of the garden. And if I see the white tea towel, I know I can come home, I'm forgiven. And this is a true story. When the lad got on the train, he was so scared, he didn't even dare look. That's the funny thing. He didn't even dare look at his house. He couldn't face the thought of the rejection. So he said to him, he told a bloke in the carriage his situation. And he asked this bloke in the carriage, he said, will you look, there's a house coming up just round this corner. It looks at us, there's an apple tree, and just tell me, is there a white tea towel on the apple tree, and the train slowly rumbles past his house. This lad's looking down. He can't even begin to dare to hope. And he goes past and he says, "Tell me, mate, tell me, was there a tea towel tied on the apple tree?" And the guy said, "No, son, there wasn't." He said, "There was 10 tea towels tied on the apple tree." He said, "And there was white sheets laid on the garden. And there was white towels hanging out of the windows." He said, "The whole garden was covered in white." He said, "I think you can go home." And you know what? That's the good news of the gospel. No matter what you've done, you get an awesome forgiveness from God today. Who wants this love? Who wants this love today? Seriously, who? Anyone? Anyone want to receive this love of the Father? Who wants God in this room right now? Who wants God? Because you can have him if you want him. He's here. And right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come to him. Let's stand. He loves you. He's here. He'll never leave you. He wants to forgive you. This is a moment for you. This is a moment for you to come back to God. This is a moment for you to come as you are. This is a moment for you if you've never experienced the love of the Father. And listen, you might even be a Christian in here today and you can't relate to this because of your bad relationship with your dad. I think the Holy Spirit wants to heal you of that today. You come forward as well. And we'll find out why you're coming forward. You want to give your life to God. You want to get right with God. Now's the time. Let's open our hands to the Lord like this. Father, we thank you that you're in this room right now, that you love us. And Daddy God, we just say that we need your love. We need forgiveness. We need this new life, this new start. We want to be forgiven. We want help. We want healing. We need your touch. We need your touch, Lord. We need you to speak to us that you love us. More than anything else, we need that. We're going to sing now. And then as we do, you come forward. You can come with someone who brought you if you want, but come and stand down here and someone's going to come pray for you. Don't wait. If you need the love of the Father, you come. Quickly come now. You're going to experience the Lord, meet the Lord right here and right now. Well done. Come and stand a little bit further forward. Come quickly, come. Don't wait. God loves you. You know it's in your heart. You know you need to come back. You just come and stand face this way. Face this way. And people are going to come and pray for you. Come and give your life to Jesus. If you're scared to come on your own, ask the person who came with you. Come and experience the love of the Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we have some ministry team to come as well and pray for these folks? Is that right? Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Don't miss this opportunity. God loves you. His arms are open to you. His heart is open to you. If you know you've gone away from your daddy and you need to come home, you come home now. You come to your Father. He loves you. You give your life to Jesus today. If you've got an addiction, he can set you free. If you've got a problem, he can deliver you. This God is powerful. He will rescue you. He will dig you out. You come to him. Don't hold back.